field of human interest has its own technical language. The fact that you're listening to this means that you're interested in computers and you know the jargon. My old mother knows nothing about it. She thinks that a mouse is a small rodent. She thinks that a cookie is something that you eat. She thinks that Spam is cheap tinned meat. You see, she hasn't been initiated. She doesn't know the computer language. Every field then has its own language. The engineer has his own language. His technical terms, the educationalist has his own language. And thus it is with the Bible too. There are words in the Bible which people who don't read the Bible much might be unfamiliar with. And I thought I would try to explain one or two of these Bible terms. I hope it can be of benefit to you. The first is the word redemption. What does it mean to be redeemed? Well, basic to that word is the concept of being set free, being liberated. And we all need to be set free. Slavery still exists, you know. Oh, you see, I thought that William Wilberforce rid the British Empire of slavery. And I thought that they fought a civil war in America to rid the land of slavery. And you're telling me that slavery still exists? Yes, a spiritual slavery still exists. The Lord Jesus Christ put it this way, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. What he was teaching was that really, one way or another, everybody is enslaved to the habits of sin. In some people's lives it could be a definite addiction. In other people's lives it may be a tendency to blaspheme, to use God's name as a swear word. In other folks' lives it may be an uncontrollable temper or the deliberate deceiving of other people, lying. One way or another, sin gets a stranglehold on human lives. So we need to be redeemed, we need to be set free. Sometimes young people form little habits to give them what they would regard as a little pleasure, a little amusement, kicks, in other words. And then they discover that before long all the pleasure is drained from these habits, and yet the habits remain. I remember years ago hearing about an entertainer in the United States who amused his audiences night after night by using a python. What happened was this: the orchestra played, and as the orchestra played, the python began to entwine itself around the man's body. Louder and louder the music went, and eventually it reached its crescendo and stopped suddenly, and the instant the music stopped, the python would fall away. This happened night after night, and audiences were enthralled. One night he started his act as usual. The orchestra played. The snake started to entwine itself around him. That night, as the music reached its peak and stopped, instead of the snake falling away, the audience heard a piercing shriek. In an instant of time, it had crushed the man to death. You see, up until that evening, he had control over the python. That night, the python took control of him. And that is how the habits of sin work. We think we can control them. We think we can kick them at will. But then, one day, we wake up to the fact that really, we're a slave in chains to the habits of sin. We need to be liberated. We need to be set free. Now, also basic to that word redemption is the idea that a price has to be paid so that liberty can be a reality. What was the price that was paid so that we could be set free from the slavery of sin? Well, we speak of the Lord Jesus as the Redeemer, and he was the one who paid the price. He didn't pay the price in terms of money, silver or gold, but he paid the price by coming to this world and dying on a cross. And the Bible says we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That means that the fact that his life was given in sacrifice and the fact that his blood was shed really means that we can be set free from the shackles of sin. We all need to be redeemed. And the good news is that liberty is available. He is the Son of God, and he spoke of himself one day and said this: if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ is the one who can give us liberty from the power of sin. When we receive him into our lives, when we repent of our sins and really believe on him, one of the things he does is this: he imparts to us his Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, the habits of sin can be conquered. Temptations that once proved to be irresistible, they can be overcome in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But No one receives the Holy Spirit of God except they are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you were willing to repent of your sin and believe in Christ, then by virtue of the fact that he paid the redemption price upon the cross, you could be set free today, and from this day forward live a life of victory, a life where you overcome the power of sin in his power. You cannot do it by yourself. We've all discovered that our best efforts are doomed to failure, but he supplies the power whereby we can live a victorious Christian life. It's so important then to be redeemed, to be set free, because the Lord Jesus paid the price when he died upon the cross. Another familiar word in the Bible is the word reconciliation. What does it mean? Well, we use the word fairly often, secularly, but when the Bible speaks about reconciliation, it means being reconciled to God. You see, sin not only enslaves us, but sin creates estrangement between us and God. God is so holy, you see, so absolutely righteous, that he cannot tolerate human sin, and our sin has put us at a distance from God. The Bible puts it this way: your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Way at the beginning of time, God placed Adam and Eve in the delightful surroundings of the Garden of Eden. He told them that we're at liberty to eat of the fruit of all the trees of that garden, with one exception. They were prohibited from eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then the devil came in the guise of a serpent, and he deceived Eve. She partook of that fruit, she gave it to her husband, and willfully and deliberately Adam disobeyed God's command. Well, when God came into the garden that day in the cool of the day, Adam was nowhere to be seen. Normally he enjoyed fellowship with God, but that day he was hiding among the trees of the garden. A sense of guilt caused him to recoil from the presence of a God who was absolutely holy. There came the point that day when he and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and an angel, a cherubim with a flaming sword, was placed at the gate of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the Tree of Life. So there was a twofold estrangement. Because of the sense of guilt, Adam shunned the presence of God, but because he had sinned and disobeyed, God in a righteous way expelled him from his presence. And so estrangement has come in because of sin. But again, the good news is that reconciliation has been effected. And the Bible describes the Lord Jesus as the one mediator between God and men. We need a go-between. We need a mediator. We need someone to bring us back to God. And again, so that reconciliation could be effected, the Lord Jesus died. The Bible says we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And so, although we are at a distance, we can be brought back to God. I suppose there's an illustration of this in a parable that the Lord Jesus told. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. A young fellow left home and went to a far country. We don't know how long he was there, but he squandered his father's money and lived recklessly. He was estranged from his father because of his waywardness. But there came the point where he said, "I will arise and go to my father." He discovered that when he took steps to go back to his father was running to meet him, and reconciliation was effected. And it's just a little picture of how you and I as sinners can be reconciled to a holy God. The Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." But do remember, we need the mediator, Jesus Christ. It's only by faith in him we can be reconciled to God. He said this, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me." So you can see that what he has done is crucial as far as effecting redemption is concerned, and what he has done is vital as far as effecting reconciliation is concerned. Have you been redeemed? Have you been reconciled? You could enjoy these blessings today if, by faith in Christ, you come to God. Another Bible word is the word salvation. Now, when we think of salvation, we're thinking not so much of being liberated from the power of sin. We're thinking not so much of being reconciled to God. But when we speak of salvation, we're thinking of being sheltered from the judgment of God. I said already that God is a holy God, and because he is holy, he cannot tolerate sin. At the Battle of Copenhagen, Lord Nelson received orders to retreat. He put his telescope to his blind eye, pretended he didn't see these orders. He was confident that a victory could be won, so he pressed ahead, and indeed, he did win the victory. And so we've coined a phrase, turning a blind eye to something. God cannot turn a blind eye to human sin. He can't sweep it under the rug. It has got to be punished. It must be accounted for. So how could God, a holy God, save us from the judgment that our sins deserve, and yet at the same time maintain his holiness and his justice? Well, again, the Lord Jesus came, and he died. And the Bible says we can be saved from wrath through him. That is, saved from the judgment of God. Some people think that if some calamity comes upon them, this is God punishing them for their sins. Now, I know there is a sense in which we can reap what we've sown, and if we live carelessly, sometimes we reap a sad harvest of that physically and mentally. But as far as judgment for sin is concerned, the Bible says, after death is the judgment. Christ taught about a place called hell. He spoke about a place called hellfire. The Bible speaks about the lake of fire, a place of eternal punishment for those who have rejected Christ. The good news is that God wants us to be saved from that. He doesn't want us to be banished from his presence eternally. The Bible says quite specifically that it is not his will that any should perish. I don't want you to think of God as someone who's harsh and tyrannical, someone who takes delight in engineering the circumstances of human lives to cause difficulty and hardship. No, God is a loving God. And because he is a loving God, he has no desire that any one of us should be sent to that place called hell. He wants us to be saved. And again, salvation is through Christ. The Bible says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It says again, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, look unto me, and be ye saved. I would urge you to look to Christ for salvation. To look to him really means to depend on him, to have faith on him, to have confidence in what he did when he died and rose from the dead. You depend on that for the salvation of your soul. So there are one or two Bible terms that you can think about. You need to be redeemed, because you are enslaved to sin, you require to be set free. You need to be reconciled, because sin has estranged you from God. You need to be brought back to him. You need to be saved, because your sin means the judgment of God for eternity. But you can be shielded from that, and the Lord Jesus is the one who can rescue you. But the Bible does say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is the danger that people could be careless and just fail to take the step of believing on Christ for the salvation of their soul. It's not that they're anti-God, it's not that they're atheistic, maybe they do believe in life after death, but they just neglect to take the step of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That is a rhetorical question. It is simply saying there's no escape. There's no possibility of being preserved from going to a lost eternity if we neglect the salvation which God has on offer. So take these things seriously. These are Bible words that are so full of meaning and so relevant for every one of our lives. Think about them well, and even today. You be redeemed. You be reconciled. You be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.